Last week, we learned that the Book of Ruth takes place in the time of the judges. Lenya shared with us that during that time, that each person did what was right in their own eyes. And I believe that concept is easy for us to understand because it's very similar to our society today. Everyone today is just surrounded by moral relativistic culture, right? And in your homework, you learned that Naomi and her family lived in Bethlehem during this time, and you learned that Elimelech, her husband, and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were living in Bethlehem amongst this relativistic culture. And I imagine it made more sense to them to try and run from their problems than try to face them head on. Sorry, I'm just trying to get there. You're all there in your Bible? Okay. It was a time of great famine and despair, and so I'm sure it made more sense to them to just go. And how many of us have been in that similar situation or position where we're put between, like we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place, or a place of doubt and discomfort and uncertainty or fear? I can remember a few times in my life where I felt like all I ever wanted to do was run away. Run away from my trials, run away from my consequences, from the decisions that I had made. And in these times of trial, times of testing, and times of discipline, we need to know that God is with us, that there is an unforeseen faith in our presence, and that God is faithful no matter what. Regardless if we see it, regardless if we feel it, we need to know it. And as a response to God's faithfulness, we need to be faith-filled. And so today we are going to see that God was faithful even when Naomi wasn't, that God was faithful even when Naomi couldn't see it, couldn't feel it, couldn't understand it, and she didn't observe it at all. And the first thing that we are going to see is that God is faithful. And then secondly, we are going to see as we look at Ruth and see that like Ruth, we can be faith-filled. So first, when God brought the Israelites, and this is going to be God is faithful, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he had to remind them that what appeared to be a curse was actually a blessing and that he was still faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Have you ever seen one of God's blessings as a curse? I know in my life I have. In my first year of marriage, I was the Israelites. I saw God's providential hand bring Nathan and I together. And then when things got tough, I felt like it was a curse. And that's just me being real. And God had to remind me of his faithfulness. Nathan and I got married November 2nd, 2008. And so it's been 10 years. Yeah, long haul. Woo, woo. And when we got married, it's safe to say that we were infatuated with each other, okay? So we spent 6 months of being best friends. We spent a year of dating, 6 months planning a wedding, and we were two 22-year-old kids with heart-shaped glasses on. And so those first few months, we were in fairy tale land. We really were. The honeymoon phase is a real thing. It absolutely is. The worst part about a honeymoon phase is that 0.00001% of the times it lasts forever, right? And so when you're goo goo gaga about each other, you don't realize this is going to come to a halt. And so about 6 months into our marriage, I was ready to run away. I was far from home. My family was in California, still is in California. And I did not marry the same man that I was married to. There was no way this was the same guy. Okay, so Nathan wasn't the man that I thought he was. I wasn't the girl he thought I was. In fact, I don't even think I could recognize myself at that time. And as things continued to progress to get worse, I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I was married to a man that I didn't think I loved anymore. And so I began to flirt with the idea of adultery. And I began to flirt with the idea of running to California. I wanted to live by my family. I didn't want to live what I felt was like a lie. I was so scared to share our issues with the church. I'm a pastor's wife. I shouldn't be scared to go to the church, right? Well, I was terrified to go to the church with my issues and our issues. Because like many, I thought whoever was ministering in the church, they had to be perfect. And they had to have life figured out. And that description was not our description. We were far from that definition. And all I knew was that we didn't measure up. And so the enemy took a hold of my insecurity and he turned it into isolation. And so I was lost. I was alone. I was running from my problems. And I'm sure Naomi felt very similarly. She was lost, scared for her family, and so she ran from her problems. She ran in fear instead of waiting in faith. And ladies, I was like Naomi. I had my bags packed. I was ready to run to the west for a land that appeared to have greater promises for me, a place that appeared would provide for me, but in truth, it would have brought me further away from God's will for my life. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, Naomi and her two sons set out for Moab, believing a false promise of provision. But disobedience always leads to destruction. We read in Ruth 1, 2, and 3, it says, "And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons." Ladies, Nate found out about my sin. And yet he was still willing and desired to seek counseling and to pursue restoration. And for me, it felt like a little too late. I didn't want to live this life of forever pretending like I was okay because I had to put this picture on as a pastor's wife of even when your world's crumbling before you, you need to hold up a smile and be okay. That wasn't what I signed up for, at least not what I thought. And my heart was bitter and resentful toward Nathan, toward the church, even hardened toward the idea of restoring a broken relationship, because I felt like our problems were so much bigger than God. And then although I knew that that was wrong, I knew that was wrongful thinking, the road of least resistance was much more appealing than to try and make it work. What I failed to see is that God was greater than any of my mistakes. Instead of running from God, I should have been running to God. Psalms 86, 15 through 16 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Love, look down and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant. Save me, the son of your servant." Naomi and her sons were caught in a similar situation and they failed to cry out to God. But going back to Bethlehem meant Naomi was going to have to take the rough road, right? She was going to have to provide for her sons during a famine. It meant difficult times ahead. It meant insecurities were at her doorstep. And it meant uncertainty of what would happen. And so she was scared and she stayed. Naomi and her two sons were caught in this place of false security. And how many times have we ourselves chosen to stay in a place of disobedience? Maybe a bad relationship, right? Maybe a bad situation. Perhaps we hang on and hold on to those sinful habits in fear that the latter would be that much worse. Perhaps this is how Naomi felt. She lived in fear and believed the lie of the enemy, and that life would be better and easier in Moab. And as the story unfolds, we see that Naomi and her sons remain there in Moab. They choose to remain in disobedience. And both sons chose to marry Moabite women. We know that the Lord would not look favorably upon this union, because in Deuteronomy 23:3 says, "An Ammonite or a Moabite should not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever." And so, as I mentioned before, disobedience leads to destruction. After 10 years of being in Moab and living in defiance, Naomi loses both of her sons. Can you imagine what Naomi was feeling? The director for Dayton Children's Hospital wrote in a blog, "A wife who loses a husband is called a widow. A husband who loses a wife is called a widower. A child who loses his or her parents is called an orphan. There is no word for a parent who loses a child. That's how awful the loss is." Naomi's despair was now greater than she ever imagined. Oftentimes, when we reach such places, we finally are willing to look back and turn back to God. Sometimes God has to allow us to reach rock bottom in order for us to finally truly see how much we need him. Ruth 1:7 tells us, "Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." In the next 6 verses, we see Naomi just pushing her daughters-in-law away, right? We see her blaming God for her circumstances. And oh, how often we are Naomi's, right? How often we fail to see that our poor decisions lead to discipline and have consequences. And this is where Naomi was. She was blinded by her despair and was unable to see that even in the midst of her dire circumstances, God was at work. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And the truth is, even though Naomi made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, God was working behind the scenes to direct her back to him. And like Zanetta explained last week, God will use detours in our lives to bring us to the same destination. He may use a different path than we expect. He may use a path that we would have never chosen for ourselves, but he uses it to bring us back under his guiding will. Nathan and I seem to have reached that place within that first year of marriage. And God was taking us on a detour route to bring us back to him. Nathan and I agreed to go to marital counseling. We were taking the necessary steps to have resolution. And then a month into it, we find out we're pregnant. And we were both on our knees bawling when we found out, crying out to God, "Why? Why now? We're not ready. We're not ready for this. We're not even sure that we are going to make it. And now you put this on us. Why are you doing this?" And we were blinded to God being at work behind the scenes on our behalf. Because I wholeheartedly believe God knew I needed something to hold on to. And he knew I'd fight for this marriage. If it wasn't for my sake, it was for this child's sake. And so he planted that baby within my womb. And even though it was a curveball, and even though it felt like another detour, God was behind it. Multiple times, God tried to direct Naomi back to the Holy Land. But it was through great loss that she was finally willing to let him lead. Hebrews 12:6 tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Naomi felt like she was being picked on by God, but God was in the work of bringing her back to him. She may not have seen it at the time, but he gave her something to cling to as well. Naomi clung to what she knew. She knew she had family in Bethlehem, and she knew her people were being provided for. In Joel chapter 2, God tells the Israelites, calls them to repentance. And in verse 25, it tells us that if there is repentance, if they repent, then he would restore the years of the swarming locusts that they would restore the years that the swarming locusts had eaten. And so God was calling Naomi to that repentance, calling her to turn around and turn back to God. And as a result of that obedience, she would have restoration. And ladies, God is faithful even when we are faithless. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And that is what I want you to grab a hold of today. Amen. That although we may not be able to see it, although we may not be able to feel it or even understand it, God remains faithful. Right? And we need to believe it. And we need to trust him. And as a result of God's faithfulness, we need to be faith-filled. So let's take a look at Ruth 1, 14 through 17, and we'll see how we are to be faith-filled. It says, "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death part you and me.'" Listen to that last part again. "The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death part you and me." Naomi just got done explaining how God had abandoned her and how she felt like God was against her. And Ruth just said, "I proclaim that I'm never leaving you, and God can bring all that and more upon me. Nothing will separate us except for death." What a beautiful declaration of faith and loyalty. Naomi gave Ruth every way out. She did all but physically push Ruth away, yet Ruth remained confident and firm in her decision. Naomi may not have been faith-filled, but Ruth was, and so can we. There are two ways that we can be faith-filled, in word and in action. The first way we see Ruth be faith-filled is in word. This young woman, amongst her own grief, a widow mourning the loss of her husband and the breakdown of her family, chooses to cling to faith. A Gentile woman who had only experienced the discipline of God, not the deliverance of God, was willing to risk it all. Think about that, ladies. Ruth was a Moabite woman, a woman guaranteed nothing and was willing to give everything. She gave up her family. She gave up the possibility of marriage. She gave up her home. She gave up her people. For what? A promise that was not her own to claim? Or a mother-in-law she swore to sustain? Have you ever thought about what you are willing to give up to follow Jesus? Friends, family, a romantic relationship, a job that is providing for your family? Luke 14:33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples." Ladies, Jesus commands us to be willing to give up everything to follow him. The costs are high, but the rewards far outweigh the costs. Matthew 19:29 says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife, children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life." Ruth was willing to give everything up for what? Why? My only guess is during the 10 years that Ruth was a part of Naomi's family, she was able to encounter the one true God, the God of Israel. Ruth was committed to being a part of this family, God's family. She may not have been of blood relation to the people of God, but she was of the same heart. And Ruth chose to put her hope and faith in God, to walk the difficult road of deliverance instead of the path of least resistance. What an amazing lesson we can learn from Ruth's commitment of faith. Ruth's decision not only shows us how we can be faith-filled, but it also reminds us that God is faithful. Because although Naomi was living in disobedience, God never left her, right? Ruth was able to encounter God, the God of Israel, in a pagan land through God's faithfulness to Naomi. Multiple times in the Old Testament, we are told that God will never leave or forsake his people. And I believe Ruth's faith is a testimony of God keeping that promise to Naomi. I feel like there have been more times than I can count where God has remained faithful, even when I was faithless. Times where I was living in disobedience or just plain out doubt. Doubt of what I was doing, doubt of my faith, whatever it may be. And that couldn't have been more true than in that first year of marriage. Nathan and I came to a crossing road in our relationship. Not the same crossroad Ruth may have been experiencing at this time, but it was a crossroad of decision. We could choose to see this little baby as a mistake, an accident. This isn't planned, so therefore it's an accident. Or we could see it as an anchor of hope. And this is where our relationship took a pivot as we chose to cling to hope. Nathan and I grew closer and closer as we laughed and cried about where we were at in life. This wasn't what we would have chosen, but it's where we were, and we didn't know what to expect or what God was doing, but we chose to trust God, to believe God was truly bringing beauty out of ashes. And so we chose to rejoice in that, to believe God was with us and that he was a part of this plan. Ruth did not know what lied ahead, but she chose to take action in her faith anyway. Read with me verses 18 and 19. It says, "When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem." So to be faith-filled, we need to be faith-filled in action. Now we see that being faith-filled isn't just something we say, but it's something we do. Ruth headed to a foreign land that all she knew, for what she knew of it, would possibly cast her out or completely reject her. She had no idea what to expect, but she chose to trust God that he was greater than her circumstances, greater than this definition of a Moabite woman. Have you ever had to trust God when it didn't make sense? To truly have faith and walk blindfolded forward? Abraham, the father of faith, had to choose to walk blindly in faith time and time again. When God called Abram to leave the country of his family, Abram had to trust that God was with him. When Abram and Lot reached that pinnacle point where it was, you choose one side, I'll choose the other, and Lot chose the luscious green land, Abraham had to trust that God was going to provide for him in the desert. Is God calling you to stop looking for greener grass and just simply trust him in the desert? When Sarai was barren, Abraham had to have faith that God would keep his promise to make him the father of many nations. Is God currently calling you to walk in faith through a season of barrenness? When God told Abraham to present Isaac as a burnt offering to the Lord, Abraham had to trust that God would honor his obedience. Is God calling you to let go of something precious and surrender it over to him? Ladies, it is one thing to say you have faith. It is another to act on that faith. So to go where God is calling you to go. To do what God is telling you to do. And to walk in faith even when it doesn't make sense. And even when every step forward hurts. Nathan and I quickly adjusted to the idea that we were going to be a family of three. And like most men, he was terrified. And like me, I was excited because I'm a girl. And so we made the announcement to the congregation and began little preparations. And at 11 weeks and 5 days, I began spotting. And in my gut, my heart sank because I knew this wasn't a good sign. And at that time, I didn't know that I was O negative or anything that was going on in my body. I just knew that's not a good sign, even though the doctor's like, yeah, that happens to some women. I just knew in my heart. And so this was going on. Nathan's in Montana with the Fresh Life team, and I'm home alone. And for 2 days, I'm spotting and I'm praying, God, Lord, please, please protect this life. Please. And 2 days later, when a friend came over, she had miscarried also late in her first trimester, and so she kind of knew what I was going through. She came over to be with me. Contractions started. And you wouldn't think at that young you would have contractions because it's just a little baby. I didn't know what to expect. Contractions, contractions, contractions. For an hour, I had contractions until I conceived this little lifeless baby. This little baby who had a face, two eyes, a nose, a mouth. He had hands and feet, fingers and toes. And I didn't know what to do. I say he because I believe in my heart I was carrying a boy based off the dreams that I had prior to losing him. And again, my faith was rocked. God, why would you give me this? I was fearful. I didn't want it. I accepted it. Then I got excited. I had dreams and ideas, all to take it away. I was devastated and confused, and here was a true test of my faith. What started as a brokenness and a failing marriage became a grace-filled season of growth and preparation, all to do a 180 and go back to where I started, which was brokenness. Nathan wasn't there when I needed him. He didn't experience what I experienced. And so he didn't understand. And my heart wanted to grow resentful again towards him. But through only what I believe could be the anointing of God, Nathan became the hands and feet of God in my time of distress. He showed uncharacteristic levels of compassion. He extended undeserved amounts of grace. And he walked hand in hand with me through the darkest moments of this difficult season in my life. And through my great grief, God was able to remind me why I married Nathan, why I fell in love with this man. It was undeniable the presence of God in his life. It was his dependence on God in our hour of need that taught me how to depend on God in every season. It would not be by my strength, but by God's strength that I could overcome my grief. Job 1:21. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't understand God's plan. Maybe I didn't agree with God's plan. Couldn't you have shown me this revelation of this amazing man without taking that? Maybe, maybe not. And maybe that's why that happened. But either way, doesn't matter. Because I have to trust in God and trust in his plan. And that's why I sympathize with Naomi. I can imagine she was overwhelmed with grief, that there was no way she could feel that God was for her because he had allowed such a horrible thing to happen. God allows us to make our own choices. God allows us to experience the consequences of our choices. But God also uses our choices and our experiences to shape us into the people he desires us to be. Ruth was able to cling to faith, while Naomi was led by fear and doubt. And in this chapter, we have seen the discipline of the Lord as a result of Naomi's disobedience. But despite Naomi's disobedience and faithlessness in God, God always remained faithful. At the end of the chapter, Naomi is still overwhelmed and consumed with her grief and bitterness. She is unable to see how God has guided her down a road of redemption, and she can only see the potholes of pain. How often do we find ourselves in Naomi's shoes, frozen at the why in the road instead of asking God, where do I go? Nate once told me, faith and fear are both a belief in the future. One is of God and the other is of the enemy. So which one will you let lead your life? So Ruth, despite her circumstances, despite all that she could have lost, she chose to be faith-filled in word and in action. She chose to trust God, and she lived out Proverbs 3:5-6. She trusted in the Lord with all of her heart. She leaned not on her own understandings. In all her ways, she acknowledged him, and he directed her path. So who will you let lead you? Will you be led by the enemy in fear down a road of destruction, or will you be led by God in faith down a road with a future and a hope? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are faithful even when we are faithless. God, that despite what we experience, that you are always there and you are always able to use it for good. Lord, that you take the yucky stuff, you take the pain, you take everything, every part of our lives, and you mold it and shape it into a beautiful person after you. And so, God, I pray for those who are in that time. Maybe they're in a season they don't understand, They don't see your presence. They feel like you're picking on them. God, I pray that you would just be with them, that you would make yourself known, that you would help them to see further beyond just the here and now and see that you have a future and a hope for them. Lord, I pray that they would surrender those things over to you. Lord, that you would help us follow fast after you, even when the road gets rough. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.